Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad you're here today. This morning, we are going to start with the children's sermon. So come on up, kids. And as the kids are coming up, we'll sing one verse of O Come Little Children. Good morning, guys. How are you? A little sleepy this morning?
Yes.
I faked you out, didn't I? I put it at the beginning of the service. But that's okay. So I am so excited. You know what? I like to be able to look at your faces. I am so excited because, you know why? Because my birthday is coming up. Yep, May 26th. That's just 6 months away. Can you believe it? I am just so excited. There's going to be a party, and there's going to be presents, and there's going to be a cake with candles on it. How many candles do you think are going to be on my cake?
10.
10. Wow, good guess. Close. What, anybody else have a guess? How many candles do you think are going to be on my cake?
50 or 52.
50 or 52. That is not correct.
35.
I like you.
45.
45. Getting a little closer.
46.
Nobody got it. How many?
53.
You're all wrong. 54 candles on my birthday cake. Yeah, Melanie.
I'm a lot younger than that.
54 candles. Although, you know, I think so that we don't burn the parsonage down, we're probably going to have to use the numbers, you know, like that, the numbers. So let me ask you. So on your next birthday, how many candles are there going to be on your cake?
100.
Yeah. Do you need help getting back to your seat? Oh, okay. How many candles are going to be on your cake?
18.
Whoa.
10.
She had to think about it.
9.
9 candles.
9.
13 candles. So, what if on your birthday they brought out your birthday cake and there were 2 candles on it? How would you feel?
Yeah, I feel like I'm 11.
You would feel like.
That's 1 plus 1.
Okay. Oh, I get it. 1 plus 1. Or 1 and 1.
I feel like a toddler again.
You feel like a toddler again, right? You would feel kind of weird, right? Weird and confused because you're a lot older than 2, right? I mean, and like, I don't know, let's just say, for example, Dennis, your next birthday, suppose they bring out your birthday cake and there are 87 candles on it.
Whoa.
How would you feel?
Wise.
Wise, okay. But a little confused, right? Because you're much, much younger than that. Kind of, yeah, okay, right? So it's important to put the right number of candles on the cake, right? Because the candles help us tell time. They tell us how many years old the person is, right? So if you're 7, you wouldn't put 17 candles on the cake, right? That's wrong. Okay? And if you're turning 54, you wouldn't put 45 candles on the cake, no matter how much you beg your wife. Because it's just not right. You have to light the right number of candles at the right time. Well, today we're starting the season of Advent. And Advent is a four-Sunday season in which we wait and get ready for Jesus' birthday. But like birthday candles, it's important to light the candles at the right time, the right number at the right time. If you look over here to my left, you see we have the Advent wreath out that has the candles on it that help us wait during this season of Advent. And how many blue candles do you see over there? How many? Four, right. So should we light all four of them today?
No.
No, why not? Oh, okay. So we light, okay, so we have to wait, right? We don't light them all at once. And so how many do we light today? Right? One. Because Advent is one Sunday old today, right? And then next week, how many do we light? Two. And then the next week, we light three. And the next week, we light four. And then what? When we're done? That's it? Oh, what's the big white candle? We call it the Christ candle, and we light that at Christmas or on Christmas Eve, and we celebrate, yay, Jesus' birthday, and that he came to be our Savior, okay? But we're getting ahead. Today we light how many? One candle, okay? So today I'm going to give each of you one candle, okay? Do not eat it. This is not food, okay? So you just take one candle. Now, if you happen to have an Advent wreath at home, you can use this one candle to light your wreath at home. If you don't have one, then you can take this candle and stick it in something, like a sandwich or something, I don't know, and have a grown-up help you light it, and then you can remember that Advent is 1 week old. And we will keep waiting for Jesus. But we need to light our Advent candle, and so I need help, okay? I think it should be somebody whose birthday is coming up closest to today. So who has a birthday coming up? Who has a birthday in December? There you go. We've got our helper. Okay, come on over here. Why don't you get up on this step stool? All right. Have you been trained on fire? No. Okay. I'll help you out. So you are going to light this candle right here. You're going to have to get it up really, tip it really high. Here. You keep a hand on the front. There you go. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe a little bit more. I think we got it. Okay. And then pull this down, and we'll push it back up. Good job. Okay. Now, everybody, fold your hands, bow your heads, and repeat after me as we pray. Thank you, God, for candles that help us wait for Jesus' birthday. Amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up. Thank you very much, Sarah, for helping us light the candle. Everybody else, I invite you to stand and wish your neighbor an awesome Advent. And let's remain standing as we sing our gathering hymn number 254. More news from the young people in our congregation. Last week, Emily drew for us a Jesus ninja. Hi-ya! I'm still trying to find that in the Bible. I'm sure it's there somewhere. Also, Laker last week turned in his wisdom slip, and he wanted to let us know that this week a wise person said to me, always say thank you. I think that is really good advice. Thank you, Laker. So everybody, think of one thing that you're thankful for. One thing. You got it? Okay, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, go. And when I say go, everybody shout out the thing you're thankful for. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Did you hear that? That beautiful, thankful cacophony of thankfulness that reminds us that no matter what, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all.
Thank you.
please join me as we pray together the prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, save us from the threatening dangers of our sins and enlighten our walk in the way of your salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Today's reading is from Romans 13, chapters 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are all summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For the salvation is nearer to us than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not reviling and in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions of the flesh to gratify its desires. Here ends the reading.
And let's stand for the gospel acclamation. The Holy Gospel for today is written in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated.
Going to win this battle with the lumberjack? That comes out best.
At Lord's to look ahead at this first test.
Oh, okay.
Let's have a new beer. Right.
If you see these sharp teeth, I won't put my fingers too close to them, but you can sort of see.
Oh, so she's having a little bit of a bathroom break,
but I don't think that's Gatorade.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Well,
BB. Don't text an anchor.
Yes.
Nobody likes getting caught off guard, right? That's why the defense practices for onside kicks. It's why we buy insurance, because we know that it's just a matter of time until something happens. and we need to be prepared. In our gospel reading today, Matthew is writing to the Christian community, and he is reminding them that they need to be prepared to not be caught off guard when Jesus comes again. Now, most scholars agree that the Gospel of Matthew was written around 80 AD. That's 50 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. 50 years after Jesus said, "I will come again." Now, he's writing to them for one reason, is because they're losing confidence in the fact that Jesus will come again. They're starting to think that it's not going to happen. They thought it would happen in their lifetime. For many, it hadn't happened, and now they're starting to wonder if it's even going to happen at all. They used to live in the daily anticipation that Jesus is coming, and they lived doing his commands and his mission, caring for each other, loving one another. But now, after 50 years, life has become routine again. After 5 decades, instead of focusing on helping each other, they've kind of just gone back to focusing on themselves again. So Matthew, in his gospel, reminds them that Christ is still coming. He's coming unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Be prepared, he's telling them. Don't get caught off guard. Keep up that daily anticipation. Keep loving each other. Well, if they needed to hear that 50 years later, think how much we need to hear that 2,000 years later. Now, I just can't preach on Matthew 24 today without talking about the rapture. This idea that when Jesus comes, before Jesus comes, right before, that all the righteous people will be taken to heaven and all the unrighteous people will be left behind. Anybody heard of this before? All right, some of you have heard of this. It's made very popular by movies like Left Behind. Here's a scene. Don't worry, the car doesn't hit anybody. Not this time. So all of the good people, the righteous people, are taken. They're taken up to heaven, and the unrighteous people, like Nicolas Cage and others, are left behind to face a time of great tribulation. Now, in the days before we had cell phones, one Sunday, I came home after church, and Susan's car was in the garage. I went into the house, and Sunday dinner was cooking in the oven, but Susan was nowhere to be found. I couldn't find her anywhere. I looked and looked and looked. It's like, what happened to her? I was getting kind of worried. I kind of started to think, maybe the rapture happened. Maybe Susan was taken and I was left behind, which totally made sense to me. Well, as it turns out, Susan had decided to walk to church that day, and unbeknownst to me, we had this feature on our oven called the delay timer. So she set it and it started cooking before we got home. But to this day, we call that the left behind feature. That's how we remember it in our family. So what is the rapture, and why don't Lutherans talk about it? Well, let me give you a quick little history. It all starts with this lady. Her name was Margaret MacDonald. She lived in Scotland, and in 1830, she had a dream or a vision that she shared with someone else who wrote it down, and then they shared that vision with other people. And in her vision, it was about the end times. And it was about how right before Jesus came back, all of the good people, the righteous people, were taken up to heaven, and all the unrighteous people were left to face terrible tribulation and troubles. She shared that with others, and people saw a connection between Matthew 24 and her vision. Well, it got around to some of the famous evangelists in Scotland of that day, one of them being a guy named John Nelson Darby, a lay preacher, a lay evangelist, who went around sharing this message about the rapture. And then in the 1880s, he traveled to the United States. He went in particular to Chicago, where he met a man named Dwight L. Moody, who you may have heard of before. He was the founder of the Moody Bible Institute and also Moody Press or Moody Publishing. He was also a lay evangelist and preacher, very, very popular at his time in the early 20th century. And he also, internationally, on both sides of the Atlantic, went around preaching and proclaiming this message of getting ready for the rapture. Well, around that time, novels started to be published, like this one, still in print actually today, called Jesus is Coming, and it used the rapture as the basis of the novel, talking about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Okay, but then came the Scofield Reference Bible. It was put together by a guy named C.I. Scofield, a lay person, and he had the idea, he was the first person to have this idea, to put in section headings in the Bible to make it easier to look things up in the Bible. And so he put that together, and in the middle of Matthew 24, he put the section heading, Jesus Predicts the Rapture. And then there were little study notes at the bottom about the rapture. Well, people bought these Bibles and they read it and they said, well, see, it says right here in the Bible, it must be true, the rapture. It says it right here. Jesus is predicting it because Scofield put it in the notes there. So none of these people went to seminary. That's fine. It was a lay-led evangelistic movement. They, in their hearts, were trying to bring people to Jesus. But this movement was never based on a study of the Greek New Testament, which is the language that Matthew first wrote his gospel in. And now, if you're reading the gospel and if you're translating from Greek to English, the translator has to make choices. Because when you're translating a word from Greek into English, word A in Greek might mean word B in English, or it might mean word C in English, or it might mean word D in English, depending on the context. You have to try to figure out which one it is. For example, in Matthew 24, 40 to 41 today, Matthew uses the word aphiemi, which can be translated as left, or sent away, or forgiven, depending on the context. Well, in the context of Matthew, Jesus has just been talking about the days of Noah and the flood and saying that the end times will be like that. Well, in the story of Noah, it's the bad people who are taken by the flood, and it's the righteous, the good people, who are left behind to start over. So with the Greek, together with the context of what else is in Scripture, it kind of almost seems that Jesus is teaching the opposite of rapture theology, or at the very least, it raises some serious questions about rapture theology. And despite all of that, the Left Behind book series has been extremely popular. My mother-in-law, a good Lutheran woman, loved them and wondered why I didn't preach about them. And the movies have also been very popular, and I'm guessing it's why a lot of you have even heard about the rapture, because of the movies. So here's the thing. I guess this is what I want you to understand, is that for 1,800 years of church history, the rapture did not exist. For 1,800 years, we did not interpret Matthew or any other part of the Bible that way. The rapture is a recent and modern concept. It's accepted by a minority of Protestant churches. As for Lutherans, we believe very strongly that our theology has to be grounded in Scripture, especially the heart of Scripture, the heart of the Bible, which is God's grace in Jesus Christ. We don't find that in rapture theology, and we don't see that it has good grounding, and so therefore, we tend to leave it alone. which is exactly what a person who believes in the rapture would expect to hear from someone who is going to be left behind. So there you go. I guess you have to decide for yourself. We can make it very complicated, can't we? I don't think Matthew was thinking about any of that when he wrote his gospel that we read today. He just wanted to remind people and emphasize that Jesus is coming back and that we need to be prepared. But how? How do we prepare? Well, as Lutherans, we also believe that it's important to let Scripture interpret Scripture. So alongside the Gospel of Matthew, we also have today Romans chapter 13, in which Paul is also talking about the end times and saying that it's time to wake up, to not be caught off guard when Jesus comes back doing the works of darkness, doing the things that divide and separate and hurt us. Don't be caught off guard just focusing on yourself. But he says, love one another, which is exactly what Jesus told us to do. Let Jesus come back and find you doing the mission he gave you to do. 2 weeks ago, I talked about apocalyptic writing in the Bible and about how, you know, when it talks about the end times, it doesn't necessarily mean that the end is near. And then at the second service, I didn't even think about it. At the second service, we ended, as a helpful staff member pointed out to me, we ended by singing, "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King." And she's like, "Okay, so which is it, Pastor? Is the end coming soon or is it not coming soon?" And the answer is yes. It's both, right? It's both. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. Even Jesus said he doesn't know the day or the hour, but we get closer every day. Time is moving forward. It's the first Sunday in Advent. And in Advent every year, we start the year by looking at our priorities and seeing, are there some things that we need to change to get ready for Jesus to come so that we're not caught off guard?
If I had to do it all over again.
If I had to do it all over
again. If I had to do it over again.
If I had to do it all over again.
If I had to do it all over again.
If I had it to do all over, I'd spend more time playing with my kids and less time cleaning the house. I'd read many more books, and I'd watch much less television.
And I wish I had spent less time with my children in organized activities like sports and other things, and spent more time one-on-one with them, where I could learn who they were and hug them as often as I wanted to, and taught them my own personal values.
I would read to my children more. I would have liked to discover the Bible sooner. I was 50 before I was in my first Bible study, and I didn't realize the good news and the good instructions that were in there.
If I had to do it all over again, I would do a better job of letting God take charge of my life. I'm a person who likes to be in control and to get things just right. Yet I have found that God is the one in charge, not me. And things have been better when I let him be in control.
I was a churchgoer and doer my whole life, but it wasn't until my children were teens that I really came to know God. I would be intentional about introducing my children to him. I guess I thought they were going to get it by osmosis, but they don't.
First, I'd like to have a better education, been more well-read so that I understood more and could accomplish more. I'd also like to have kept myself physically fit so that I could continue to do things in my older years that I should have done in my youth.
I would have spent less energy at work so I had more energy when I went home to my family. I was a workaholic for many years of my working life, and I carried a pager and was always thinking about work when I was home. I would have liked to have been more patient at home and spent more time just dealing with the family and building those relationships.
If I had to do it all over again, I'd treat my wife with much greater respect in the early years of our marriage. I would love her more, I would listen to her more, and I would help her more. I was starting my own business, and I left the home up to her. And boy, I'd like another shot at that.
So So during the season of Advent, we take time to prepare. We think about what changes do we need to make to be ready for Jesus when he comes. I wouldn't cash out your life insurance policy and go buy that new pickup truck, okay? But neither would I continue to operate as though everything is business as usual, because it's not. Time is moving on. Every day we get closer. One way or another, every day we're closer to seeing Jesus. Don't get caught off guard. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing our next hymn, which is 436. Let's proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious Lord, as the days get shorter, we eagerly await your coming. Help us to focus on the mission you've given us as we wait for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope and strength, we pray that you would be with all who are in need and give them comfort, peace, and healing. We pray today especially for Rhonda Westergaard, Shirley Holm, Pat Jacobson, Don and Joanne Knowlton, Tony Allen, James Strike, Elaine Eckebrecht, John Rima, Gladys Kellogg, Leon Isaacson, Dwayne Ortmeyer, Ron Myers, Jack Hulbert, Mike Lau, Sandra Link, Dan Carey, and Donna Stewart. Lord, we pray once again that you would give comfort to Mary Lou Wohlers and her family at the death of her husband, Bill. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are in the armed forces and their families, especially for Alex Binger, Robson Shanklin, and Kim Hall. We lift up before you those others who are on our hearts as we name them silently before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. Jesus commanded us that before we come to the altar, we should be reconciled with our brothers and sisters, and so we share the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering, and we sing the offering hymn 253. We pray together the offertory prayer. O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Everybody is invited to come forward to partake in this meal of God's grace and forgiveness. Those who aren't communing today are welcome to come forward to receive a blessing. We have the home communion kits on the altar today, reminding us that our communion visitors are extending this meal out to many other people in our community and that they are a part of this congregation as well. We have both wine and grape juice available. The grape juice is white and in the center of the tray of cups. Gluten-free wafers are available at both stations. Just let the server know and they will take care of you. Jesus is the host of this Thanksgiving meal and everybody is invited. The food of God for the people of God. Come, for all is ready. You may be seated. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Well, we want to say thank you today to Talene Litterer for the poinsettias on the altar, given in memory of Clarence. And I want to say thanks to Dennis and Jan Brinkman for sponsoring today's radio broadcast in memory of loved ones. Well, it is December, folks, and Christmas is coming. There is a lot of stuff going on the next few weeks, starting with tomorrow. The deacons are going to be putting up the tree, decorating the church for the season, and if you would like to come by at 5:30 and help them out, they would love to have your assistance with that. And then next Sunday is the Sunday School Christmas program at 10:15 service, and then there's going to be soup dinner after that, which is a fundraiser for the youth. And then on Sunday, December 15th, make sure you get this down, there is one service on Sunday, December 15th. That's at 9 o'clock. It's going to be Music Sunday. It's a joint service with Messiah Lutheran to celebrate together the music of the Advent and Christmas season. There's going to be a potluck after that service. And then after the potluck, we're going to go Christmas caroling to the nursing homes and assisted living. So plenty of opportunity to get involved and to help us prepare and to celebrate this season. And I hope you will. So let's stand for the benediction. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. We sing our ascending hymn number 244.